Well, we're at that time of year where in kind of instinctively we have a desire to go ahead and grow. We have a desire to make some changes and make some increase in our life. We're at that time of the year where the Christmas bills start coming in and we'd like to grow our bank accounts and shrink our debts, right? We'd like to see that take place. For some of us, we're in that time of year where we'd like to go ahead and get back to the gym and grow our muscles and shrink our waist a little bit. Sometimes life just brings a season and we say, okay, this is a time I want to grow. True story, I'm helping my fourth grader the other day with her homework, and I thought, man, I'm talking about growing deeper and kind of getting smarter in our faith this week, and I need to get smarter in fourth grade math. If you do not have a fourth grader doing math, I want you to know some of you think it's really easy, but it's much more challenging than what you think, all right? They've kind of rewritten some of those rules. It's not the same as it used to be. You know, as I was sitting helping her, thinking about some of those things, I thought, you know, there's so many things that we take for granted, so many things that we just do, but after we haven't done them for a while, here's what happens. It slips out of our mind, it slips out of our memory, and it's no longer the habit that it used to be. And we look and we say, how come I can't do this? How come it's not natural or normal to me? You know, I read a story some time ago about a group of little boys that were in Africa, and they were playing with shiny little rocks, and they didn't have marbles, but they knew about the game marbles. So they went ahead and they're playing with these shiny little rocks and they're playing marbles and just having a great time. And there was a group of geologists that had come and they're doing some excavating and doing some mining in a place nearby. And they had come and they were trying to go ahead and build some relationships with those that were in the surrounding tribes and community. And here's what happens. They come over and they see this little group of boys playing marbles with what those boys thought were rocks. And the geologists came over and they began to go ahead and just kind of pry those away from the boys and began to look at them. And they asked questions as to where they found them. And they began to go and search. And all the while, that group of little boys had been playing marbles with what they thought were shiny rocks. But you know what they were? They were diamonds. They were diamonds. Playing marbles with diamonds, they had something of incredible, irreplaceable value in their hands, yet they didn't know it. And some of you would say, John, what does fourth grade math have to do with me? What do diamonds have to do with me? You see, some of us know Jesus, and he's not an active part of our daily life, so we forget some things about Jesus, and before too long, they're no longer a part of our life like maybe they once were. Some of us may know Jesus and we have that relationship with Jesus and we don't realize what we're holding in our hands. We don't realize the indescribable value that he brings to our life. We haven't taken time to get to know him. We haven't taken time to learn a little bit more about him. And as a result, we're just kind of playing around with Jesus. We know him. We've heard about him. We can tell you a few things about him, but we've never experienced his great value and the impact that he can make in our life. Well, last Sunday we kicked off a series entitled Start. Because this is the time of year where people say, hey, I'm going to start. I'm going to start and I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to start and I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to start and I'm going to get organized. I'm going to start and you can fill in the blank. The reality is this, we challenged ourselves and we said, if there's one thing that we're going to start and we didn't start anything else this year, the thing that we would need to start is to love big. Because the Bible says that if we love God with all that we are and we love him with all our heart and all our soul and all of our mind, then here's what's going to happen. We're going to be able to love our neighbor in a way that we ought to. Do you know what that means? When we begin to love God with all that we are, here's what we're going to be able to do. We're going to be able to love our spouse like we want to. We're going to be able to love our kids in those challenging moments like they need us to. We're going to be able to literally go ahead and love the people that we work with in a way like we've never been able to before. It's a statement, love big, because God calls us to a great commandment that needs a great commitment, but it brings great rewards. And there's nothing more rewarding in your life or my life, then we step out and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to love God in a big way, like he loves me in a big way, so that I can love the people around me in a big way. That just means I can look beyond their faults and their failures. I can dig into that relationship and begin to go ahead and help them become all that God intended them to become, because I am becoming that same thing. Well, today we're going to talk about growing deep. You see, when we think about growing deep, we might think about getting intellectually smarter. We might think about learning something new, but here's the reality. We're just going to talk about drilling down and maybe what we already know and what we already have. We're going to talk about moving from just holding diamonds that are in our hands and just knowing a little bit about Jesus to getting into some of that value that the Bible talks about. Somebody would say, John, why should I go ahead and grow deeper in Jesus? Why do I need that? What is in that for me? Here's what you're going to discover. It's just like loving big. As we begin to grow deeper in Jesus, here's what's going to happen. Relationships that you have that are on the surface level, they're going to go deeper. You're going to be able to love your family in a deeper way. You're going to be able to take a deeper look at life, and it's going to get real practical and real powerful in your daily interaction with those around you and in your daily interaction with God. Well, there's a passage of scripture that just point blank talks about you and I digging deeper and growing deeper in our faith. It's found in Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 2, Paul is writing to a group of people that he's never seen, a group of people that he's never met. But he says, look, if there's one thing that I could go ahead and encourage you to do, it would be this. I would encourage you to grow deeper. I would encourage you to learn more about Jesus. Out of all the things that you could do, here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to dive into your relationship with Jesus Christ and get to know more about him. Remember, last Sunday we said, Jesus said, the key is to go ahead and love God with all that you are. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul. We talked about how John said, look, if you're going to get one thing, it's to love God. We talked about how Peter said, look, above everything, love. Well, this week, Paul says, look, if I could just tell you something. Now that you know Jesus, now that you've heard about him, and now that you have a relationship with him, here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship and in your faith with him. Let's go ahead and just read a couple of passages of scripture. We look at Colossians chapter 2. And we begin to see some things unfold. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 1, here's what Paul writes. He says, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul says, I've never met you. I've never been able to go ahead and put a name and a face together, but here's the reality. I'm very concerned for you. I want something more for you. It's kind of incredible to stop and think that Paul doesn't really know him, but he wants something more for them. He doesn't ask for anything from them. He wants something for them. Sometimes when we get to church, sometimes when we hear the pastor giving a talk or a message, or sometimes when we just think about church, we think that maybe God or the church just wants something from us. But the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's saying, look, I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. And this morning, I want something for you as well. I want us to be able to grow deeper. And Paul says, look, I have a great conflict for you, and I've never even met you. He continues on in verse number 2. He says that their hearts may be encouraged. He says, I have a conflict for you, and I want something more for you, and here's what I want. I want your heart to be encouraged. I want you to be knit together in love. There's that love factor. Again, it just keeps showing up. And attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ. He says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He says, I want to go ahead and I want to encourage you that your hearts would be knit together, that you would come together and you would begin to discover more as to who this Jesus is, because here's the reality. He says, in Jesus, you're going to find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge right there. He continues in verse number 4. He says, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Why do we need to grow deeper in Jesus? Why do we need to grow deeper in our faith? Because there's a lot of persuasive words out there that will take us off course. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. He says, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. He says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, look, here's what I want us to get. He says, I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you to grow deeper in your faith, because there are things out there that will go ahead and lead you astray. And here's what I want you to know. You want your life to be more meaningful. You want to feel complete on the inside. You want to feel a little bit more together. Here's the truth. He says there's one way to have that. There's one way to get there, and that is through your relationship with Christ and getting just a little bit deeper. So let's just take a look at what Paul said. Paul said if we're going to go ahead and grow deeper, there's something that we have to focus on, and that first thing is this: it's relationship. In verse number 6, he says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, I want you to go ahead and walk in him. I talk about relationship first and foremost because in verse number 1, he says, look, here's the reality. I kind of know you, and I have a great conflict for you because I want you to get more from this relationship. And he talks about relationship, but he uses a word that's written, and he says, as you have received. The word received literally means joined yourself to. So you know what he was saying? He says, as you have made the choice, as you have made the decision to go ahead and follow after Jesus, as you have made the decision on the inside, there's something that needs to take place on the outside. There's something that needs to go ahead and take place in your life. That word received, he says, you've just voluntarily joined yourself to Jesus. Now, what that means for you and me is this. The one way we get to have a relationship with Christ is by coming to him and saying, you know what? I need forgiveness of my sins, and I need you to be my Savior. That's how we get a relationship with him. He doesn't say, as you guys got good enough. He doesn't say, as you figured your life out. He doesn't say, as you started going to church. He doesn't say, as you started doing a list of good deeds. Here's what Paul writes. He says, look, as you received Jesus, as you joined yourself to him, he says you voluntarily signed up for that. It's a matter of a personal faith. When we think about our relationship and we think about all the things that are before us in this life and we think about all the things that we have opportunity to give ourselves to, Paul says, look, there's one thing I want to remind you of. As you voluntarily joined yourself to Jesus, as you voluntarily began a relationship with him, as you placed your faith in him, here's what I would love for you to do. I would love for you to go ahead and take another step in that relationship. I would love for you to go a little bit deeper in that relationship. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus, here's what I want you to do next. And he's going to go ahead and share that in just a moment. Now, when you think about relationship and you think about what Paul said, Paul is giving us a picture of joining ourselves to Jesus. Do you know what happens when someone gets married? They go ahead and they join themselves to that individual. They just come up and they join themselves to them. They don't join themselves to a religion. They don't join themselves to a whole bunch of other things. They join themselves to an individual personal relationship that's now moved from one to two. That's exactly what takes place. Paul gives us that picture. Yet so many times we as Christians think when we go ahead and need to get our life together, we need to go ahead and join a church, or we need to join this or join that. What we ultimately need to do as individuals is join ourselves to Jesus first and foremost and make certain that we have that relationship. Then we need to go ahead and take this next step that Paul describes. Paul says, I've got something for you, and it's relationship. You want your life to get better? It's relationship. He says, remember back when you joined yourself to Jesus? Now there's something you need to do. The second thing is this: effort. You want to go ahead and grow a little bit deeper? You want your life to be a little bit better? You want to grow deeper in something that matters? It's going to take effort. Over and over and over, here's what I've heard so far this year from people that are trying to turn their life around in one way or another. They're posting and they're saying, man, I'm making the effort. I'm up and I'm going to the gym. I'm working my budget. I'm making an effort, whatever it might be. You know, our relationship with Jesus takes the same thing. You see, the challenge for you and I is to go ahead and say, I want a relationship with Jesus, and then we tend to leave it there. We tend to just go ahead and leave it right there. Paul says it's going to take effort. It's going to take a little bit of work. In verse number one, he says, I have great conflict for you. Do you know what he's really saying? He's really saying, he's not saying I'm necessarily worried about you. He's not even saying I'm really concerned about you. He's literally saying, I'm laboring for you. I'm laboring for you. He says, I'm so intense in this, and I want something for you. He says, look, I'm laboring for you. I'm working hard so that you might know something more about Jesus. But he says this, you have to go ahead and make some effort as well. He says, look, just as you received Christ Jesus, verse number six, he says, just as you have joined yourself to him, here's what you need to do now. He says, here's what you need to do. You need to go ahead and walk in him. Do you know what walk in him means? He says, as you joined yourself to him, you need to walk in him. Paul goes ahead and says, look, the secret to growing deeper in our faith is to stay within the boundaries of Jesus, to make Jesus the center of our life. Do you know what? That takes effort. Because if your life is anything like my life, there's always something that creeps its way in and wants to take out Jesus' time in your life. There's always something that creeps its way in and wants to pull you out of those bounds, wants to pull you to something else. Paul says, look, when you join yourself to Jesus, here's what you need to do. You need to walk in him. And it literally means that Jesus is our boundary. Let me ask you something. How are you doing at staying within the boundaries of Jesus in his truth? How are you doing at staying within the guidance that he's offered? You see, when we begin to stay within the boundaries of Jesus and his word for every area of our life, when we begin to look at the boundaries of God's word and begin to live our life centered around walking with Jesus, do you know what begins to happen? Our life begins to go ahead and get not only deeper, but it gets better. You see, when I'm talking about growing deeper this morning, I'm not talking about you going to seminary and getting a Bible education. I'm not talking about you learning the languages that the Bible was actually originally written in. I'm not talking about going there because there are many people who know all kinds of things, but their life is really shallow. And the reason it's really shallow is not because they don't have the intellect. It's because there's not a daily effort to go ahead and live their life within the boundaries of Jesus. Because Paul said, look, you joined yourself to him, but now here's what you need to do. You need to go ahead and walk in him. You just need to go ahead and walk in him. Elijah, will you go ahead and come up here for just a second? Don't worry, I'm not going to do anything terrible. I promise it's okay. You're kind of nervous right now, aren't you? You know who's more nervous than you? Your dad. I'm not nervous. I got no skin in this game. You got your last name's Anderson, right? So your dad's right back there, and he's probably wondering a little bit. Now, Elijah, I want you to just go ahead and come over here and just stand right here. Now, I want you to go ahead and take a step. That was two. All right, back that foot back up. Just one step. This foot forward only. Okay, that's a step. Put it out there a little bit further. You can take a bigger step than that. Now, can I ask you something? If Elijah stands here like this all day, how many of you are going to think it's a little funny? It just doesn't look right. It's just kind of odd, right? I mean, it just is. But what did he do? He took a step. Do you know what? A lot of us are just like Elijah right now in our relationship with Jesus. We took a step, and we've taken one step, but you know, here's the reality. You go ahead and take one step, and at some point in time, you're going to get tired, and you're kind of easy to kind of knock off balance right now, aren't you? I mean, you could go ahead and knock me off balance, but that's you're not here to knock me off balance. Now, just think about it. It's a little awkward, right? Just a little awkward. Some of us are having trouble in our relationship with Jesus, and here's why. It's because Paul said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead and walk in him. That means keep taking multiple steps. It's not multiple steps for your salvation. It's continuing to step in the faith and the grace and the knowledge and in the boundaries of Jesus, where he guides us and what he wants us to do. Yet many of us are standing here just like this, and we wonder why we struggle keeping life in balance. It's harder to keep your balance when you're standing still, in a lot of instances, than when you're on the move. Elijah, you can be seated. Thank you for coming and helping. You know, when you look at your life and I look at my life, some of us are just like that, right? Some of us are just standing literally in that locked position, a little uncomfortable. It's a little difficult for us. And we say something's just not right. And you know what's just not right? What's not right is the fact that we're not taking another step. You see, when Paul wrote, just as you received him, I want you to go ahead and walk in him. The word walk is written in a perfect tense and in a present tense, which means it just continues to happen. There's a step and another step and another step. You see, there's the step of joining ourselves to him, but there's the step of walking with him through life, getting to know him just a little bit more. Let me ask you something. What does your next step need to be? Let me ask you this. Are you taking steps in your relationship with Jesus? Do you really know him? Have you trusted him, but are you continuing to trust him? Not with salvation, but with everyday life. Because that's what Paul is calling them to. He says, as you have received Jesus, I want you to walk in him. You're trusting him for salvation, but I need you to go ahead and look to him for truth, because in him is every answer that you could ever want. In him is every comfort, every hope, every need that you could have. You're going to find the solution. You're going to find the hope. You're going to find the answer in Christ Jesus. And Paul writes and says, look, you need to continue to walk in him, because there are plenty of people out there that have a philosophy. They have persuasive words. They have all kinds of thoughts. And you know what they're going to do? As you're taking a step and you're thinking about what you're going to do with Jesus and whether or not you're going to go ahead and take that next step and continue to learn more about him, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be somebody else that tells you, hey, I've got this truth, or hey, I've got this path. And as you're there and you're kind of in between and you're just wobbling a little bit, you're going to go ahead and step in the wrong direction. You're going to step outside the boundary that God had designed you for. And then you're going to be left wanting and wondering why life is not better. You want a better life. You want better relationships. You want something that's satisfying. You want that sense of completeness on the inside. Do you know where it comes from? It comes from taking the step to know Jesus and trust him as your Savior. That's receiving him. Just receive it. It's already done. But then he says, after you receive him, I want you to walk in him. I want you to go ahead and take those steps. I want you to go ahead and take hold of his truth and bring it into your life. You know what the Bible teaches us about Jesus? It teaches us that he is truth. It teaches us that he's representative of God's word and that he is God's word. But you know what Paul tells us in Timothy? He writes to Timothy, and Timothy is younger and he's growing, and here's what he says. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to what? Make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says this. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you know what Paul writes? Paul writes in essence this. He says, look, you need to go ahead and get to know Jesus in a deeper way. You need to get to know his truth, because truth prepares you for your destination. Truth protects you from destruction. And truth is going to provide the daily direction that you need. Think about that for just a moment. Truth, Jesus is going to go ahead and he's going to prepare you for your destination. He's also going to prepare you and provide for you daily instruction, and he's going to protect you from that ultimate destruction when we go ahead and make choices that are outside of his bounds. Paul says we need to know more about him. Why? Because he's truth. And truth is going to provide that destination. It's going to provide the direction, and it's going to protect you from destruction. And some of us right now are in situations in life, and we're honestly asking ourselves, how did I get here? And the answer is this. At some point in time, we stepped outside of the bounds of Jesus. The answer is this. At some point in time, we quit walking with him, and we were just there in this awkward stride, this awkward moment, trying to balance life ourselves, and then something came along that swayed us and moved us from that direction and taking that next step with Jesus. Let me ask you, what's your next step with Jesus? Do you know him as Savior? If you don't, that needs to be your next step. Have you followed him in baptism? Baptism doesn't save you. Let me be clear about that. Baptism gives you an opportunity to go ahead and demonstrate your faith publicly in Jesus. It's symbolic of saying, look, I'm going to go ahead and I want to follow Jesus. Maybe you've already been baptized. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe your next step is church membership and just saying, hey, you can count on me. I'm going to go ahead and be a part of something that's bigger than I am. I want to go ahead and do that in a very practical way. Maybe your next step is opening up the Bible and reading just a little bit every day. Maybe your next step is joining a life group. Maybe your next step is becoming a part of a serve team. Maybe your next step is getting connected in some way, shape, or form. You know what the next step needs to be. What is your next step? Well, there's something else that Paul brings about, and we're just going to take a look at it real quick, and then will be done. In verse number 3, Paul writes, he says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Then he says in verse number 4, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. And he says this, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And then he says, look, as you've received him, I want you to walk in him. I want you to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Do you know what Paul was giving? Paul was giving some accountability and encouragement. What do we need to grow deeper? We need relationship. What do we need to grow deeper? We need effort. Some of us just need to start doing something with the relationship that we have. We need to take that next step. What do we need to grow deeper? We need accountability and encouragement. Paul is writing from a distance, and you know what he's saying? He's saying, look, I'm hearing things about you, and I'm watching you from a distance through the eyes of others, and here's what he says. He says, I want to encourage you, and I want you to keep on going. Why do we come together and worship as a group? It's to learn more about God and to go ahead and encourage one another and to have some accountability to others. Why do we meet together in a life group to learn more about God's word and to have some accountability? To learn a little bit more about truth, but to go ahead and take the next step. Paul writes and he's talking all about encouragement and accountability. In Acts chapter 2, the early church has just started, and here's what it says in verse number 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Do you know what a word is that described the early church? Over and over and over, it says that they were together. They were together in relationship. They were together in effort. They were together in encouragement and accountability. They were doing everything they could to bring out the best in others. People are often quick to say, I don't need anybody to hold me accountable. Well, let me tell you this. Maybe somebody else needs you to hold them accountable. Maybe somebody else needs you to go ahead and be an encouragement to them. Because it's easy to say, man, I'm a self-starter. I pay attention and I know what's going on in life and I get up early and I stay up late and Jesus is at the center of my life. Somebody else might need you to show them how to do that. Somebody else might need you to come alongside of them and help them take that next step. Instead of wondering why they're not taking a step, somebody probably needs you to come alongside and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to walk with you. Because remember, Paul wasn't just writing to the individual. Paul was writing to the believers at Colossae. He was writing to a group of people just like you and me, people that would meet together for worship and people that would go ahead and do life together on a daily basis. And Paul said, look, I want you to walk together in Jesus. I want you to take steps together in Jesus. You want to do something great in this year? You want to write a resolution that'll go ahead and make your life better? Can I tell you, make that resolution to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus. What does that look like? It looks like spending time in His Word. It looks like having a little bit of prayer on a daily basis. It looks like making an effort to go ahead and be a part of what's taking place, not just in our church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the church as a whole. What's the next step you need to take? What's the next thing you need to do in your relationship with Christ? Paul writes and says, look, I've got great conflict for you. And he said, I'm pouring everything out for you. But he says, look, there's something you have to do. And Jesus is everything that you could ever want, and He holds everything that you could ever need. And He says, I can't do it for you, but you can go ahead and do it as you received Him. I need you to make some effort to walk in Him. And I need you to go ahead and encourage one another and hold each other accountable to grow deeper in the faith. He just gives us a few simple words. Relationship, do you have it? Effort to follow the truth that's found in Jesus, to take the steps that you need to take. Are you making that effort? Accountability and encouragement. Are you putting yourself in an environment where you can grow because those around you are growing? Are you putting yourself in an environment where you can help those grow and where you can help encourage them? You want something to go after? Love big, because that great commitment to the great commandment will bring a great reward. But I would encourage you to grow deeper, because as we grow deeper, we're learning the truth. And the truth of Jesus will prepare you for whatever destination you're headed to. It prepares you ultimately for the destination of heaven if you know it and accept it. But it goes ahead and prepares you for the destinations and the stops of this life and how to handle it. It will provide daily direction for you, and it will protect you from destruction. Grow deeper. Have that relationship. Make the effort. Be held accountable and encourage. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you today and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the things that you've done and the things that you're going to do. Lord, today as we've talked about some simple things, Father, there are some of us that in our spiritual life are literally just like Elijah was standing here just a few moments ago. We've taken a step and that's it. And there's not been a next step. And Father, maybe there was a next step at one point in time, but we've quit walking with you. Father, I pray that today you would help us to walk with you. I pray that you would help us to see you for all that you are, all that you're offering to us. Father, I ask you to guide us and direct us. And I pray that as we have an opportunity to respond, whether it's here at the altar or right where we are in our seats, God, that you would just speak to our hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed, this morning, if you aren't for certain that Jesus is your Savior, in just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity where you can come forward and say, I want to talk to somebody about knowing Jesus as my Savior. If that's you today, there'll be somebody that will be here that would love the opportunity to tell you more about Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you would say, John, I know Jesus as my Savior, but I'm kind of where Elijah was just a moment ago. When I looked up there and saw him, I've taken that initial step, but I've not taken any more steps, and life just doesn't feel right. The reason it doesn't feel right is because you're not walking and taking those steps with Jesus. Today, maybe you would just like to come and pray and say, I'm going to take some steps. I'm going to go ahead and take that next step. I'm going to follow Jesus in baptism. I'm going to go ahead and commit myself to church membership. I'm going to go ahead and get involved in a life group or get connected in a ministry. I'm going to take a step and do something with my faith that I've received, that I've placed in Jesus. Maybe today you want to come and pray for someone or something that's going on in your life that we've not even talked about. Whatever your need might be, if God speaks to your heart, I just encourage you to respond to Him. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? You know the words. Please sing along.